I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, good morning to you. Man, there's a lot happening today. Do you know the Eagles won a vote yesterday? Big vote. It's really going to help them. I think it's a major victory for the Eagles. And obviously, we're having some fun with, you know, debate week around here these days. We may or may not do more tomorrow. We'll get to that. And the Phils are just playing fantastic ball. Let's go to the phones. We're going to have Rhea versus Elliot coming up shortly on the Tush Push. By the way, Ruben and Rhea, if I can move the two of you, because we got to get Rhea on that camera that's right here. So if you two can switch seats, we'll be good to go. All right, let's go to the phones. OG Wade is with us. Wade, what's up, buddy?
What's up, man? I'm very upset with you guys.
Oh, no.
What?
What's going on, Wade?
Yesterday, y'all allowed Spike Weasel Eskin to cheat on John Ritchie. And I didn't appreciate that because he's been walking around for about maybe a year now with his cheat card in his back pocket that Jalen Hurts led the league in turnovers in 23, in which he did not. Josh Allen led the league. Josh Allen had 17 fumbles and 18 interceptions. Jalen Hurts had 9 fumbles and 15 interceptions. But that was one of the things that he used to win, to debate John Ritchie of is Jalen Hurts in the league quarterback. Now, Spike Eskin says that his favorite quarterback is Josh Allen, who he says is elite. Well, Josh Allen can't throw the ball outside the numbers better than Jalen Hurts. Josh Allen hasn't got an AFC championship game. Josh Allen hasn't been to 2 Super Bowls. So if you say Josh Allen is elite, then you also should be saying that Jalen Hurts is elite. And then it's just a bunch of stuff that he said yesterday that was untrue. So he says if you take Jalen Hurts off of the Eagles, would he be still be elite? And I would say yes, because why? Jalen Hurts is the reason why Saquon Barkley has the room to run.
He's part of the reason, but he's not like the singular reason. But he's part of it.
Well, I would say he's the singular reason why Saquon Barkley had the year that he had.
I would say the offensive line was a bigger factor.
I mean, he's a huge reason. We've seen what it looks like without him. We've seen that it does take a hit, the running game.
I mean, OG, let's remember this, man. Like a guy like, well, okay, Derrick Henry had Lamar, bad example. But there are players that have gotten 2,000 yards or 1,800 yards or 1,600 yards that didn't have scrambling-oriented quarterbacks. Like, I think it's a little, I'll use the word disrespectful, to Saquon and to the offensive line to put as much of it in the basket of Hurts as you are. No, I'm with John. Hurts is a significant part.
Isn't Saquon the reason?
I think Saquon's the reason. Well, but I think what he's saying, Ruben, is the jump. Hold on, wait. I think what he's saying, Ruben, is the jump from Saquon Giant, who I think got over 1,000 yards, maybe twice, to Saquon the Eagle, who got to 2,000. I mean, something else around him is different. And it's a whole bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. I think the O-line is the biggest difference.
Let me say this here.
Yes.
Before Jalen Hurts became the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, our O-line was never ranked as the number one O-line. If you look at the Super Bowl that
not
just,
true.
Just hear me out, because I know it's true. It's a fact. But anyway, if you look at the Super Bowl, on multiple plays in that Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts would have gotten sacked. He ran the ball because he had the pressure. Okay. He also led us rushing in the Super Bowl. And what I'm saying to you is that defenses have to allocate 3 players to Jalen Hurts.
Well, it's so not three. It's not three.
That is true. You got 3 defenses.
You got 3 spies? You got 3 spies so they're playing 11 on 8 out there?
No.
You bring some good points, but you get a little ridiculous. Three spies?
All you got to do is know football, Joe. You got to look at the DN. When a DN is reading Jalen Hurts, he cannot go into no rush, pass rush, or anything until Jalen Hurts has declared what he's going to do with the ball.
Look, he's a factor. All right, wait. I got to move. I can't do this 37 minutes straight. Give me an answer.
Sure.
Give me a plot twist.
The plot twist is for y'all to stop babying Spike Eskin and kick his ass like I do.
Baby.
All right, so James isn't here, but Lewis, we need you to get that to Seltzer for Drop of the Week. That was a pretty good end by OG with the call. All right, let's welcome in a minute. In 1 minute, we're going to have another debate, and we're going to welcome Elliot coming up for Elliot versus Rhea on the Sixers.
Kick off summer this Memorial Day with Wild Fork Foods. Whether you're hosting a massive barbecue or just planning your weekday dinners, Wild Fork is your number one spot to shop premium meats and seafood at unmatched prices. Like their USDA Choice Tomahawk, only $13.98 a pound, or USDA Prime New York Strip Steak, $18.98 a pound, or grill up some North Atlantic lobster tails. Two tails, only $15.96. And don't forget to pick up their 100% beef hamburger 10-pack, only $1 per patty. You can't beat that deal. And Wild Fork honors our military with military discounts every day. All active reserves and retired military, just show your military ID at checkout in their retail stores. So visit one of their greater Philadelphia retail locations today. And if you're headed to the shore, skip the trip to the grocery store and shop Wild Fork online for same-day delivery to your door at the shore. Visit wildforkfoods.com.
All right, Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie. We got Rhea Rubin and Elliot with us here today, and wonderful to have you. So, been a busy week. Debate week has been part of it. Now, we're not doing life advice with the hammer today because we're just prioritizing this other stuff to do. When we do life advice, and we would expect to do it next week, it'll be brought to us by MHS Lift. If you're looking for forklifts, a warehouse efficiency assessment, any type of material handling equipment, or if your equipment needs repairs, get yourself to MHS Lift. .com. All right, so another debate on WIP and on our show, and as we venture into this one, let's ring the bell.
Oh, wow, we're just getting right into it.
All right, we welcome Elliot Short Parks. Good morning, bud. How are you, pal?
I feel like I don't know what I'm walking into right now. This is the vibe I get from Rhea coming from here to there. She has lots of paper. It's gonna be
fun. Well, you got your phone. I do my homework.
Yeah, and I have the facts, too.
Yeah. I've got the facts of 14 years of what a bad owner this dude is.
We'll find out, I guess.
Smack early.
So we'll run this similar to how we did yesterday. There will be opening statements. And after the opening statement, I will, as the moderator, encourage some crossfire and perhaps some questions and comments. So we'll let it flow. It'll probably last about 10 minutes or so. The topic is whether Josh Harris is a good owner. I want to make sure I got that right. Not great. Good is our standard?
Good owner.
Good owner. Yeah.
Good owner.
Is Josh Harris a good owner? Now, we have to figure out who's going to go first. John, I have in front of me one of... two numbers. I either have three. I either have three or I have four. Elliot, you get to pick. If you pick it right, then you will get the choice of whether
three or four.
Three or four.
I guess I'll pick three.
You are correct.
Yeah. So to be fair, it was very obvious what it was, but that's okay.
Would you like to go first, or would you like to go second?
Unless you want to go first, but I'm happy to go first.
No, you can go first.
All right. So Elliot, here we go. You're going to have 1 minute for an opening statement. The question is Josh Harris a good owner? One more time, let's ring the bell. Elliot Short Parks, sir, you have 1 minute. Is Josh Harris a good owner?
October 18th, 2011, a great day in Philadelphia sports history. That's the day Josh Harris officially became owner of the Sixers, and things changed for one of our favorite teams in the city. Prior to Josh Harris taking control of the Sixers, the 10 years prior, 0 50-win seasons, 0 division titles, 2 playoff series wins, and they were a top 4 seed 0 times. Since Josh Harris took over, 4 50-plus season wins, 7 seasons over 500, a division title, 5 playoff series wins, and they've been a top 4 seed 5 times. The difference in the product we get to watch as Sixers fans with Josh Harris as owner versus not owner is drastically different. In addition, he also took the team from the practice courts of PCOM, where they had to like rent space to practice, to one of the best practice facilities in the league. And soon they'll get a new arena. So he's taken them from an irrelevant team that never won, that embarrassingly had to practice at a local college, was splitting an arena, and now they're going to get a new arena, new practice facility. He's changed the team completely.
Mr. Short Parks, we thank you for your opening statement. Ms. Hughes, you have 1 minute. Is Josh Harris a good owner?
All right, let's start with Josh Harris employing Sam Hinkie to start the process. An abject failure, despite what the sons of Sam Hinkie or rights to Ricky Sanchez to Rangers will tell you. Harris then got bullied by the commissioner to hire Jerry Colangelo. Jerry Colangelo convinced him to hire his kid, big collar Brian Colangelo, who drafted Markelle Fultz and then got caught with a burner account that he blamed on his wife for ripping Embiid. How about during COVID, when the billionaire tried to slash the salaries of employees and had to be publicly embarrassed by Embiid? How about, like, during when if your kid has a soccer game, you better not want him to be going between games because he will land on the field and you better run for the hills, okay? Harris spearheaded. You mentioned the arena. Spearheaded that to bulldoze over Chinatown, okay? How much money did they have to spend researching it? And then he made the mayor of Philadelphia look like a fool. There is a name in front of the Sixers. It's called Philadelphia. A fish rots from the head. That head is either resting in Washington or New York, never in Philadelphia.
Yeah, you'll notice she said almost nothing about basketball in there. Almost nothing about basketball.
Now, hold
right?
on. Short Parks, chime down.
Okay.
Okay. Segment two here. Retorts and things. I will say as the moderator, Rhea, that was a great line. That line about the name in front of the Sixers is Philadelphia. I know I'm not supposed to, you know.
I want you to know.
That resonated with me in a big way. All right, we encourage now some back and forth, some retorts and some comments. Look, Elliot, you got a minute.
The fish line was a great one, but it's not true. They're not a rotting fish. They've been one of the best teams in the league over the past 10 years since Josh Harris took over. I think they have the 8th most playoff wins over the past 10 years. And a lot of what you said is true. I'm not here debating he's a great person. I'm not debating he's a great owner.
No. It's a great owner. The question is, is he a good owner?
Yes, and he is a good owner.
Has the product
on the basketball court improved since he got here? Yes. Without question, yes. Does that mean he's perfect off the court? Of course not. Do I wish he owned other teams? Of course. I get why that upsets other people. The arena thing. You're right. That was not a smooth process. I'm not supporting.
Smooth. It was disgraceful.
I'm not supporting what he did there, but nothing you said has anything to do with what really matters when it comes to an owner.
You're wrong.
But why?
Let me retort. Do I get a chance to retort, Joe?
You certainly do.
But at this point, why are we not talking about basketball?
No. Hold on. You said what makes a good owner.
Yes.
Daryl Morey's really into AI, right? Artificial intelligence.
Like everyone, yes.
Okay, well, you know, I'm so glad you said that.
Me too.
Because I decided to Google what makes a good sports owner, okay?
All right.
And Google has the AI feature at the top. Uh-huh. So here's a sample of them. Financial stability, 100%.
100%.
Absolutely, he's a $6 billion guy. Commitment to the game. No, not when you open your tenure with losing. Literally, that's your thing.
Hold on, I'm not done. Go ahead.
Strategic leadership. His leadership, the executives he's put in place have been absolutely terrible. Communication and transparency. Hell no. Okay? Community engagement. Crickets. Okay? So these are things that are, they don't just go with what, everything is included. I'll give you the product on the field is good. The product off the field is an embarrassment to the league and to the city of Philadelphia.
First of all, a lot of what you said there, you can keep saying that Sam Hinkie was a failure. Sam Hinkie was not a failure. And you also don't get to say that he was bullied out of Sam Hinkie while also saying Sam Hinkie didn't do a good job. Either you wanted him fired
or
not.
Well, he was bullied out of Sam Hinkie.
Right. But
was he not bullied out of Sam
Hinkie?
I can say whatever I want. Was he not bullied out of Sam Hinkie?
He was. I agree. He was.
Guess I won that one.
No, well, you did win that one. Yes, but the larger picture is he is absolutely a good owner.
We had a retreat.
Sam, he was bullied out of Sam Hinkie. But Sam Hinkie, and this is where your argument loses its steam. You keep saying Sam Hinkie didn't do a good job. He absolutely set this team up to succeed. And again, you can keep talking about off the court stuff. The majority of what matters is the on court stuff.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And the team has been way better. What about when he bought all the Sixers fans tickets to the Knicks series last year? If Jeffrey Lurie did that, we would talk about that for years. Nothing Josh Harris does that's positive ever gets brought up because people are so focused on the fact they haven't come out of the second round.
It's a great thing that he bought the things for the Knicks.
Yeah.
How about buying the Washington Commanders and sitting his butt in the link with a Commanders thing on, while there was a lot of Sixers fans in that building.
That's just a new reality of ownership.
No,
I don't know
You can't defend that with a straight face.
I'm not defending
you. You are.
I'm saying that's the reality of what it is.
It is
the reality. All right. A lot of teams own different teams.
This is an ass whooping, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it's not.
An ass whooping.
Let me just make it very clear. Jeffrey Lurie and John Middleton have built relational teams around a culture.
Yes, they are great owners.
Josh Harris is all transactional. That's all he is.
But the transactions have led to wins. The executive he's hired had led to wins. The head coaches that cost a ton of money.
Does he have any engagement with the community of Philadelphia?
I would love if he did that.
Does he? No. Answer.
He doesn't.
So he's not a good owner. There are all points to being an owner.
That's what makes a great owner. Jeffrey Lurie's a great owner because of what he does in Philly. Middleton's a great owner because he clearly wants to win. He comes here. We're not debating if he's a great owner.
Oh, we're doing good. So good. You can own other teams. You can own division rivals.
Yes. Yes, 100%. And by the way, if you want to talk about being a good owner, everywhere he goes, he wins. Like, what more does he need to do to prove he's good at this? He goes to Washington. They win. His soccer team wins.
Again,
the Devils win.
Again,
the Sixers
you
win.
Think bringing so up Washington is a positive.
It is a
makes
positive.
Him a good
it,
Sixers
because
owner.
It shows
we're talking
it, no, no,
about
no.
as a Sixers
yes.
owner.
And as a Sixers owner, you're ignoring the
Oh, my God.
The, you're,
so because you're Washington is good, it makes him a better owner? You're an idiot.
No, if you,
you are
ignore,
a flat-out moron. If you think a single Sixers fan is going, gosh, Washington's good. My owner of the 76ers
has a good
team in the NFL.
Proof that he is a good
That's
owner.
Embarrassing
no,
for you to have that opinion.
No. It's a proof that he is a good owner. And again, you can keep ignoring the winning on the court, but that's the most important
There is
important
more
part.
To court
There's
stuff.
There's more to it, but that's but it's
you,
less
I
important.
I hear you all the time. Jeffrey Lurie, man, everything he does combined.
I agree.
This guy,
he's a great
this
owner.
Guy has no engagement with...
I
when was the last
you
time
that.
You heard him?
I agree with
when?
You on that.
When was the last
he
time you heard
talked.
From him? He barely
hold on.
His leader, should have been talking Daryl Morey. He didn't do that all season. It was a
you
disgrace
way
of a season.
You're focused on the off-the-court stuff, and you're ignoring the
on-the-court
stuff.
I'm not.
You are.
You
won't
don't
even
focus.
Acknowledge
you don't
good
even
on the
focus.
Court. No, because the off-the-court stuff
okay.
matters.
Have they
not
made it out of
the
second round?
They have not. That's not his fault, though.
Oh.
He spent a ton of money.
I'm sorry. I thought that was on the court.
It is on the court, but they've been one of the best teams in the league since he
because
bought the team.
Because you want to know why? Do you want to know why they've not? No. You want to know
why?
No. You want to know why?
That's why.
You want to know why?
Because they have been one of the best.
They've never succeeded because he created a culture losing.
Order in the court.
They've never succeeded because of injuries and misses.
The judge has put the gavel down. We're in the court for a moment. First off, outstanding spirited effort by both sides.
Very aggressive. Okay. Very aggressive.
Now, I do think it is a major ass whooping, but I'll... Okay.
Again,
all right.
If you want
to... Now, here's where we're going to go with segment three. Segment three, you each get to ask each other one question.
Oh, okay.
And with that question, drive obviously at a point that is your point.
Is it a yes or no question?
No, it's just you get to ask a question. But this allows for crossfire while the other person is answering.
Okay.
So, Rhea, what question, to prove your point, would you like to ask Elliot? And I'll remind you, crossfire is allowed as the other person answers.
Has the culture, have the Sixers really ever been truthful to their fans? Listen, I'll take your pause. I don't need anything else.
Yeah, I would say no.
Okay.
I would say no. Okay. I would say no.
Okay.
All right.
Does that make a good owner when you
literally... Boy, was that an immediate concession.
I mean,
We're not debating if he's perfect or if he's great. Being an owner combines all... Jeffrey Lurie might be the
GM
best
right
owner
here,
in all
and when
of
we're
sports.
Done, I'm going to ask him if engagement on-field all part of being an owner?
How would you gauge if an owner or GM is good? Would you say wins and losses is maybe the top one there?
I think it's a... all-encompassing thing. I mean,
how did you want to be judged?
As an employee, and obviously, connection with the fans, that was a big one. I mean, I had a great owner in Dave Montgomery.
But
so
would
it's
you
hard
say
to commit.
One of the reasons because he gave you a lot of resources,
Josh,
and he spent money, and
yeah, that's important.
How
There's
important?
No, that's very, very important. There's
number
no
one,
question.
Would you
but
say?
No, it's not number one.
Okay.
To me, it's the way that you're perceived as a
member of the community?
Member of the community, one, or employee, one, employer, one, member of the community, two, and then success on the field, probably three.
I'll jump in with, I'll jump in with this from my perspective as a 47-year-old fan. I've seen worse teams than what the Sixers put out there last year. I've never been less proud of an organization than I have been over the last 12 months with this team. And I've seen a lot of bad Philly sports teams. I have never felt less proud in a team. Organization. All right, Elliot, you get to ask one question to Rhea. Crossfire is permitted thereafter.
Are the Sixers better off with Josh Harris than they were prior?
No, 100%.
I'll give you the
on-court reasons. Okay. The leadership, the executives he put in place have done a terrible job. The Brian Colangelo thing, Brian Colangelo and Jerry, was an outright disaster because we wound up with Markel Fultz.
Yes, every
Daryl
team
Morey,
makes mistakes.
We wound up with James.
Again,
well, I'm giving you on the field. I'm giving you on the court stuff.
So on the court, they have objectively been a title contender like five of the last six seasons. How is that not a good job? You can point to mistakes. And again, you hold him to the standard of Jeffrey Lurie. Jeffrey Lurie is probably the best owner in all of sports, you could argue. That is the gold standard at the NovaCare.
He's not even at the bronze.
Look at what he's done for this franchise. He spends all the money he needs to spend.
I said the money is not an issue with him.
That's a big part of it. I feel like you're nitpicking on things that bother you. Yes, nitpicking. Like all this, like he's not a great guy. He doesn't have community
stuff.
That matters.
Listen, he bought the Washington Commanders, and you said that's good for Sixers fans.
No. I didn't say that. I said it's a sign that he's a good owner. But also, let me ask you this: would you rather have an owner that's in the community, super fun, doing all these things, but is cheap and doesn't spend money, or an owner that gives a team all the resources it needs?
I think you can have both.
Ideally, you should have both.
But from the moment he bought this team, he never lived here. He helicoptered in for every game.
Yes, again, not a great owner. No. A good owner. The most important thing is to spend money. He spends money. That's what you want from an owner.
You want checks.
Gavel. And he gives checks.
Gavel. Okay. 30-second closing arguments. Now, I forget who went first. Feels like a million years ago. There's no crosstalk here, right?
No crosstalk in the closing
argument.
I'm getting from both ears.
Can you imagine if that bus driver is listening to the kids and this at the same
time?
All right, John. Who went first?
I went first, but I'm happy to go first.
Rhea goes first in closing argument. Rhea, go ahead.
So being a good businessman is totally separate from being a good owner. I think as an owner, you have to be a steward of the city that you're in. You have to have, I mean, yes, they have gotten better on the court. They haven't crossed, but he is an absentee owner. And so that plays into the lack of feeling people have for that team. To me, you owe something as an owner because, as I mentioned before, Philadelphia Phillies, Philadelphia Sixers, Philadelphia Eagles, Philadelphia Flyers. You owe that as an owner to have that aspect of your ownership.
Yes.
Rhea, I commend you on your service to this debate today. Elliot Shore Park, sir, you have 30 seconds closing argument. The question again was, is Josh Harris a good owner? You have 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think in sports, we want to love the people that wear the jerseys that we root for, right? You want that. And I'll acknowledge, I don't love Josh Harris. I don't love that he owns the team. But what I can also acknowledge as an adult that can look at what matters as an owner of a team, he spends money, he's invested, and you say he's absentee. He's at a lot of Sixers games. No one cares that he's there, but he is a lot of Sixers games. He's absolutely done a great job and saved the team since he bought him.
Because he's flown in on his helicopter.
Well, they don't practice at PCOM anymore. Could you imagine if they still practice at PCOM, how embarrassing
that
would be?
Do you really think fans care where they practice?
Yes, but that's part of being an owner.
I understand that.
They don't care until they're practicing at PCOM.
Very spirited. It is time for the voting. John Ritchie, you haven't said a word in 20 minutes. Sir, who won this debate, John?
You know, I will say it.
And what is your reaction to what just transpired?
The amount of notes you have is...
I would say that Elliot, man, that's much respect for the effort. And you did a great job of resuscitating a dying, bloated corpse.
Wow.
That was... there were times where I actually started to believe what you were saying, and it really did make sense. But, man, it's just impossible. The off-field stuff is so overwhelmingly awful.
I don't know if that's true.
It weighs in. It factors in. Like, yeah, the on-the-field stuff, yeah, I guess on-the-court stuff, I guess
the game they play.
You can perceive that as a positive. My gosh, it's impossible to if we're looking at scales here, that on-field stuff, it's just so pale by comparison to the debacles that we have to endure with Josh Harris off the field and everywhere else. Great try.
Thank you.
That is so nice, John.
All right, Ruben. I mean, excuse me. John gives his vote to Rhea. All right, Ruben has not seen such a spirited debate since the rain delay in Game 5 of the World Series. When it was the Phillies, the Rays, Major League Baseball, and Fox Sports all arguing about whether the game's counting or not. But that's a whole other matter. Ruben Amaro, sir, who won this debate?
So I think Elliot had a really, really tough uphill battle on this one, and it was a valiant. I'll echo John's thoughts, but I do believe I had a great owner, and when I start comparing where David Montgomery was compared to where Josh Harris is and who he is, I think that the debate was, you know, does Elliot show the folks here and all of us that he is somewhere between okay and good? I don't think that he's near good.
Oh my!
And I don't think I see that. So I got to go with it. It was a great effort, man.
Thank you.
It was a great, great effort. And the team has improved. But I just don't. There's too many other factors that are involved that don't make him good, quote unquote.
All right, so here's where I'm at. Third and final vote. Much like when Simon Cowell had a, you know, is a 3-for-3 on Susan Boyle when she when she sang "I Dream a Dream" from Les Mis. It's 1,000% Rhea. I mean, it's go as Simon Cowell said, go back to your village or whatever he said. Hold your head high. You know, that was an inspiring moment, by the way, with Susan Boyle.
Yes, go back to your village.
I still think it might have been staged. That's just my theory. Yeah. That's a whole nother matter. Rhea, you did the job.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
I enjoyed it immensely. And I will just say, just to let people out there know, Ellie and I debate on the Sixers way more than we ever talk about the Eagles.
For sure.
I mean, we do all the time. We go back and forth texting each other. So these are not unusual battles that we have, but they're generally done over text messages.
Well, let me say two things. One, just wait till the Sixers aren't winning consistently. Then we'll see what a bad owner looks like. But two, I've debated a lot of people at this station. I've never walked in anything like that. So, I held my own, but good job.
And I'll say this, Elliot. Rhea could have said everything she said, or she simply could have said to you,
"As if."
Because your whole argument was absurd.
I thought his argument was good. I thought he did a good job winning all the time.
We just wanted to ignore all the wins. But
there you go.
I think ESP did a nice job, but in a losing effort.
Yeah. All right, Elliot, stick around if you want, because we got to get back to the calls here. We got a lot of good stuff going on. Let's go. I hope you enjoyed the debate.
Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.